host, Karen Young, and the purpose of my show is to gather experience that give voice to the untold stories of how the divine intervened in your life and made a difference. I have questions. Have you ever experienced a dream of warning and wonder, or had divine healing, had a hunch, had felt intuition, voice of a higher power, had a prophetic experience of some kind, been touched by an angel, near-death experience, or had a vision that resulted into the divine intervention? If so, I would love to hear from you at 1-888-627-6008. Again, if you want to join conversation, I would like for you to call 1-888-627-6008. And the topic, and I'm also a spiritual teacher. So today's topic is self-betrayal. You know, we often, you know, have people betray us. Have you ever had somebody betray you or did something wrong to you? And it's usually the person that you really trust. You know, it could be a relative, it could be a friend or somebody you really trust in your life, and you feel betrayed, or you was betrayed in what they did, and the pain just still, if it was a long time ago, it still goes so deep, it cuts like a knife. It's just like, this person I trust, could be a coworker, could be anything, your life events, you just feel so betrayed by this person. That you really, really thought was your friend, or betrayed you, slept with your man, slept with your woman, whatever it is, you really felt betrayed. And you just really feel bad about it. You don't even know how you could ever overcome. Could be a relative, friend, sister, neighbor, somebody you trust that you thought was there for you, or a parental, somebody you looked up to, a counselor. We all feel so betrayed. I feel betrayed in my life more than one time. And it just feels so bad. And that's today's topic, of just feeling so betrayed. But I have to, you know, go with the subject that I'm dealing with. Is, to me, the worst betrayal is self-betrayal. Your own, you betray your own self. And reason why I'm saying that this is more important, I mean, it seems like it would be more important that somebody else did it to you, but really the worst kind is you're doing it yourself. You're doing it against your better judgment of your own self. And we all have our own self-betrayals. It's best to talk about other people portraying us and doing us wrong. But the worst type of self-betrayal is self-betrayal. I mean, I have had instances where I was in situations where I didn't quite speak up. It could be, self-betrayal could go as far as you portraying yourself with somebody, or just not speaking up for yourself, not doing something that you felt that was right at the time that you did it. Even though all this self-betrayal, it starts with yourself, but I know you want to blame people, and I know you've been betrayed. I'm not saying that. I mean, that goes deep, but the self-betrayal to me goes deeper than that, because there's always something telling you before, and this is what you need to know before you continue to sabotage ourselves, is that we look at ourselves in a certain way, and we know, I mean, sometimes we're not aware of it. I'll just say that. I'll take this back, but most of the time we are, and we go on with it anyway. We go on with the self-betrayal. It can start as small as not taking up for yourself or taking up for your child. You knew this situation was going on. You just didn't know how to handle it, but your better judgment's like, I need to speak up for myself. I should have spoke up for myself in that incident. At least, you know, a lot of times it's my experience where, you know, something happened with my child and somebody did something, you know, you should have said something, you should have spoke up at the time. And then later you think about it and you say, oh, I shouldn't have never done that. You know, everything in your body, you know, was saying, speak up. And in my situation, you know, I'm always, you know, so peaceful. I want to make everything right. But certain times in life, you know, divine listeners, you have to speak up. Yeah, I'm for the peace, but sometimes I betray myself in the middle of trying to make peace. And sometimes it's still not peaceful because you didn't say your peace. Do you know what I'm saying, divine listeners? You didn't really state your peace because the other people didn't hear you, didn't hear yourself expressed. And so they didn't hear you express, but you just let it go in the name of peace. And this is where I was portraying myself in a lot of situations. I want to be peaceful. Yeah, that's cool to be peaceful. Don't get me wrong. A lot of times it saved my life to just be peaceful and have things going away. But if it's an unsettledness, like in a lot of situations, a lot of examples that I've had that I needed to address, I let it go in the name of peace, but I really wasn't feeling peace on the inside. And that's what I'm saying. It was self sabotaging, self-betrayal of myself, divine listeners, if you can feel me. And that's where we go in trouble. Where, I mean, it's good to make peace. And I'm not saying all I hell, but sometimes you have to defend yourself in ways. It can become legal situations. I was in a hospital having my child, and I had her. I'll just give you an example of what I should have did and I didn't do. That comes back on my own self-betrayal, and I can't really blame. I can blame other people, but really, I need to look at myself. But to go into this situation was that I had, you know, a C-section with my child about 13 years ago. But I went, you know, into the, you know, hospital to have her or whatever, and my doctor came in about you know, he did the C-section around 7:30, whatever, had the baby, all this stuff. It was good. I love my baby. I love my child, all this. Make a long story short, I take her home a couple of days later, but I'm not feeling well. I'm really not. My appointment is supposed to be, I'm supposed to go back to the doctor on a Wednesday, as I remember. And so I'm not feeling well. My stitches or whatever it is, sutures, whatever it is they you know, stitch you up with, you know, on your stomach or whatever. This is my first C-section. I didn't know this was, I was feeling feverish anyway. I told my son, you know, today is the day I have to go, but I was just feeling so out of sort. I knew that I didn't have a C-section, but I knew, you know, I guess I didn't know how I was supposed to feel, but this was not feeling the way I did with the, you know, with the regular process of a baby. This was different, but I didn't know if this is the way I should feel. But anyway, he take me to my appointment and everything. He said, Mom, you know, I got the baby. Go on and go to the appointment. I have a unique life. I had a child 18 years later after my first child. So my life is really unique and phenomenal. Anyway, the baby's 18 years later, my son has my newborn baby. And he tells me, okay, go up and get your you know, your exam or whatever to see if everything is all right with the C-section. Well, I did. I went and everything. And the doctor, he checked me out. He was like, everything is all right. But I wasn't feeling right, guys. He said, everything is okay, Karen. You know, you can, you're fine. You can, you know, do, you know, everything is fine. The stitches is fine, everything. But I was feeling like, no, doctor, now he's examining me, but I'm really not feeling all this good. So I go back down to, you know, with my son and my baby down in the lobby and stuff like that. And, you know, I tell my son, I say, he said, Mom, how did it go? I said, well, he said everything is all right. He said, well, you don't look all right. And then I just felt this urge. I mean, this, my stomach was like, it was bleeding or something was coming down. And I said, I don't feel good. He said, Mom, go back upstairs. He said, we're not leaving. He said, go back upstairs to the doctor and let him check you. You said you're not feeling. By the time I went to the elevator, I had to be in a, they had to damn near carry me upstairs in a wheelchair. I was in a wheelchair. When I get up there, the doctor saying, you know, get up here. You know, he's like, what's going on? But you check me. You're supposed to be my doctor. And he like, you know what? You need to go back down to your son. He didn't want to be responsible for what just happened. Now, guys, I'm not trying to be gross, but, you know, everything kind of stitches and everything kind of bust open. I'm just being honest. I'm just telling you how you don't follow you. And so stuff wasn't right. I told him, you know, I'm not going back down. His thing was to not beat and said that I was checked by him. He wanted me to pretend like I came through the emergency with my son. And that meant I had to get up with whatever that was going on with me and go back downstairs and pretend. I wasn't doing that. Okay. So I'm like, no, I'm not doing it. You know, mama gave me sense and God gave me sense. You know, I'm not going to do this. You better call an ambulance, do what you got to do. But anyway, I was rushed, you know, across the street because this was the clinic part. And they took me across the street. But anyway, he had to redo the surgery or whatever. But all this is malpractice. This is not good. And this is what I'm saying. None of this is right. Even though he did his operation on me again or whatever, I was supposed to seek counsel. I was supposed to seek legal counsel or whatever it was. I was supposed to do something about that. But I told myself, since he did it over again and he was successful the second time, I just kind of talked myself out of it. But that bothers me now for years, not really getting into what I was supposed to get in. And that's what I'm talking about, self-betrayal. Trying to make things, make excuses for myself and say, well, I was in bad shape. I really wasn't in the mind to seekly, but I should have. I should have talked to somebody, even if I couldn't, I was weak or whatever. I should have taken it. What I'm saying is it's a lot of situations that's going down that we don't address. And it still haunts me today that I should have sued that doctor. First of all, for telling me I was all right and I wasn't all right. Second of all, trying to get me out of the off the gurney or bed or whatever in a state that I was in to get in the car with my to jeopardize even more further to get in the car with my son to pretend that I came in with my son in another way instead of giving me the help I needed. But this was self-betrayal on me. I can blame the doctors all I want. I can blame, you know, whatever. They didn't do it right. They did it wrong. Whatever it is. My thing is to you, my message is today is self-betrayal is real. Don't betray yourself. I mean, you can blame whoever you want to blame. Yes, he did, but what did I do after that? What did I do to myself? See, and I had rights in this, but I always, you know, oh, well, you know, make excuses. Let me just be peaceful. He did it right the second time. Whatever it was, that situation haunt me and other situations that I have handled that I should have not betray myself in that way, not to, you know, excuse others so I can just, you know, whatever, and then blame them. You know, I did for a while blame the doctor. He shouldn't do that. Told everybody all my little story, what happened to me. No, you had options. You had choices, and you should have utilized your rights, your choices of what you could have done. And even if it couldn't have been something I could have done, because they said, you know what, he corrected. So look, at least look into it. Don't let it go, you know. And it's just plenty of situations where, you know, in my life where I just, you know, I do want it for peace. But, you know, a lot of it worked for peace. But a lot of you just have to stand up for yourself in yourself and know this is self-betrayal. You're not treating yourself the way your godly self and divine self need to be treated, you know. You need to treat yourself with respect, integrity, and I have all that, but, you know, you have to utilize that in ways where, you know, you come first. So a lot of times we don't come first in a lot of things. We just let things go on. I'm not saying all the people. I'm not saying them. I'm just talking about divine listeners of self-betrayal. I'm just talking about that today. I'm not saying in every situation, but I'm just saying I'm just sharing some things in my life that I have learned, and I always, you know, let the listeners know how I feel in my experiences. And if you feel like you had a self-betrayal, you can always call, you know, and call in and join in the conversation if you like, and say how either you know, how you got out of the situation, or the situation is still haunting you in your betrayal at 1-888-627-6008. And I love sharing you guys' stories. It don't have to be just me. You can call in and join, but I'm just saying what's on my heart today and how we need to know that we're important enough and that divineness in us, that yes, we are peaceful, we're godly people, we're, you know, light workers, whatever you want to call us, God, Christ people, that we still don't need to be stepped on. When most of all, you know, when other people do it, it's bad enough. It's bad enough when other people portray, you know, portray you. But to portray yourself is the highest portrayal. It really is, because there's always something, and I'll get down to this, the saying, you're going against your better judgment. You're going against yourself. This where it's at. And it's always telling us, and this where's this nagging feeling. That's what I want us to get to in today, that this nagging feeling, this intuition, that it's always, and it's God, is the divine always telling us what to do. And the way to do it, it's all in the way you feel. If you're feeling disrespect from God, sometimes you just know it and you just go along with it. I don't know why we go along with it. I have no idea why we go along with it, you know, but I tend not to go on along with it in the future anymore, of this self-betrayal that, you know, I do to myself. And it's for my listeners as well, divine listeners, you don't want to do this continue to yourself. You may not even know that you're doing it, but it feels bad. And this is how you know. It's against your judgment. It's against your inner, you know, intuition. It's against you, and you're doing it even though somebody's telling you with a smile on their face or whatever is going on. You got to check your feelings and find out what's going on. You have to check all your vital feelings and what's going on in the situation. And sometimes we cannot feel right and still don't do it and still move forward. That's what I'm talking about. Self-sabotaging and relationships to whatever. You say, okay, this is my mom, this is my big sister, this is my whatever. If it don't feel right, you shouldn't go along with it. I don't care what it is. I mean, you know, really check it. I mean, it could be for your good or you could be paranoid. I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is, a lot of the situations, and really, who do you really blame? And that's what I end up, I could blame the doctors, and for years I did. I can blame all the people I want that have I self-sabotage, but the self-sabotage and the self-betrayal is within me. It's me sabotaging and portraying myself. Listeners, that's who, you know, it's being hurt, and it keep going over and over, and it keep happening. So you need to take a look at yourself. And you know, divine listeners, you know, I always tell us to look at, because who else can we really look at? We can't look at other people. We can't blame it, but the worst kind is your own self portrayal, your own deep self discovery of this betrayal within yourself. It hurts worse because you really have the messages telling you. And you're going against your better judgment. You're going against all that is telling you what not to do. And you still feel this way. And I still turned around and did it and said, you know, made excuses for whatever reason given. I just made excuses about it. But I'm here to tell you, you don't have to make excuses about it. You don't have to make excuses about even the people that, you know, portray you. You can easily do that. I mean, you can easily blame them. I mean, you can easily see who portrayal you. And this is real, you know, portrayal. I mean, I'm not saying that this is, you know, the people do portray us. I mean, we see it, we feel it, to the ends, you know, if it's that way that somebody is doing this to us. And I've had it done to me, even family members. I'm not, you know, saying all that, but, you know, and probably have done it to people and don't know that I've done it, but I'm just straight out self-portrayal. But what I'm saying is my own self-portrayal, how I portrayed my own self, deceive my own self. That's what really hurts me, and then make excuses about it. And so that's where I'm in this situation, and this is the topic conversation of what I'm dealing with. And I just have other examples, like I was dating a guy, you know, and, you know, he seemed like a nice guy. You know, a lot of times it's because you want things to be. I like this guy. I wanted him to be the right guy. He seemed like he was the right guy. He had his own place, own house. He had his job. I mean, you know, I was single at the time. And I, you know, no names, but I, you know, I was single. You know, it seemed like, you know, it was the perfect relationship for me. You know, he was a smooth talker, and I, you know, pride myself on being bright or whatever. But like I said, it's, you know, it's all in the ego in what I wanted. I wanted this guy to be what I wanted him to be. But it turned out, you know, went on a couple dates and stuff like that in the beginning. It seemed like it was, but if in the in reality, if I'm looking back, in the beginning there were signs. There were all kind of red flags with this guy. The first red flag was that I never went over to his house, even though he had a house. He showed me, you know, a picture of his house on the phone and all that, you know, this and that, you know. But he never, there was a clue, you know, I never went over there. I didn't pay much attention because I was so, I liked him so much in like. I don't even know if I was in love. But I, you know, we would go place, you know, go out to breakfast a couple of times. But this guy started revealing himself to me. He started not going, picking me up when he was supposed to, go, you know, not, you know, solid with his words. Your word is your bond. You don't pick up. You can say, okay, you can make excuses, but 3, 4, 5, 6 times, this guy was not a good guy. He only wanted, you know, certain things. But what was going on in my mind, he looks like he, you know, he's a good guy. I was waiting for something. Give somebody a chance, you know, whatever reason was that I wanted it to go the way I wanted it to go. I just wanted to, he was just seemed ideal to me. He was a working man, you know, we had the physical thing together real good. I think that was a lot of stuff that was starting, to be honest with you, you know, divine listeners, blinded a lot of my, you know, my insight. You know, sometimes the physical can blind your insight of what's really going on. But I really know deep down in my heart, you know, he wasn't coming up. I'm going to pick you up here. I'm going to do this. He was not doing what he was supposed to. But yet, I still carried on with this relationship. I don't know what it was. You know, I just wanted it to be. I wanted him to be. He looked like he matched so with me. I'm like, and then I would talk to him. I'm like, why did you stand me up the other day? Or why did you do that? What you did? He, you know, he always had an excuse. I mean, and then, you know, after a while, you know, his excuses just became, he just didn't care, you know, because he could get away with it. You know what I'm saying, guys? He just got bold with what, and I just allowed it. I really allowed this kind of rude behavior within me. I don't know, but I'm just sharing a little bit of my story to tell you, you know, everything inside me was telling this guy is not right. And not only everything and telling me this guy's not right, he was showing me. So I couldn't understand within myself why I continue to allow this situation. Now, should I, you know, continue to blame this guy right here and now? Well, yeah, he did a lot of things that I like to, but I'm sitting up here with all the tools and all the proof, guys, everything here, but I just allowed it. And for some reason, you know, I guess I was waiting on him to change. You know what I'm saying? If he did anything right, it was okay. You know, then, you know, he's turning around. He's coming around. He did that. And do much really, but to be honest with you, but I'm just like, oh, we went out to, you know, breakfast, you know, maybe, you know, he's changing about, but he was really never that really guy, solid guy that really took me out. I mean, he had a woman or whatever that was going on with him. You know, we know these things, but we just, something, I've never went over his house. All this stuff is common, but what I'm saying is I'm bringing it to you in this way that we self-sabotage, and then, you know, I want to blame others, but really I portrayed myself in this relationship in a way that I shouldn't have, because I know that my worth is better than this, and I didn't know why I continued to do it, even though I questioned it, I did, but for some reason I was, I don't know what it was, and that's what it was I wasn't still, I was examining myself, but really I wasn't examining myself deep enough. Everything was there, but I just overlooked a lot of things for this guy. I don't know why. But I guess I wanted him to change. I just, in my selfish way, in ego or whatever it was, God was telling me everything. The divine was there. Intuition was there. But in my own ego, I'll just say that. In my own ego, this was supposed to work. Why didn't he? Well, the other part is like, girl, you're the woman. That's why. I mean, can't you? But, you know, it's like, he was the guy. You know, I was supposed to, you know, whatever, get with, you know, he just seemed to fit my kind of style, I guess, because he was seeming like he was on the bar. He had a nice car. He had a couple cars. He seemed like he, you know, I wanted him to just be what he wasn't. And therefore, I portrayed myself wanting him to be what I wanted him to be. And so that's where the self-betrayal came in. And I continue this for, I hate to admit it, it was a good 3 or 4 years. Now, why, you know, part of it was, you know, I knew that, you know, you have different parts to you. He was not going to commit. And part of me, you have to look at yourself, was not in the committing part. So somewhere up in me, I wasn't in the committing part, because if I had been in the committing part, see, it all comes back to you. You're not committed either. So you attracted this because you're not actually in the committed part. Because if you had, you'd have dropped him a long time ago. This is going on. This is something else that's going on with you as well. You saying he's not committed, but really you're not either. So it's something in there for you in ways, but still all of it was you did want a committed relationship, but you still portrayed yourself. I still portrayed Karen. I still portrayed who I was to go along with the ego part of me that wanted this to happen. And this guy was not, you know, going along with none of this stuff. He had got so bold, you come in, you know, to my house without me, him asking or saying that he was coming over. He just got so bold. He just got bold with it. And that's what happened. They see that, you know, there's no boundaries here, you know, I could do this. And he just got bold and start coming over, you know, and just didn't care whether he did this and that and the other. He just like coming in, what's for dinner? What's, you know, what's going on? This and that and then. And he was like, and then it was just getting to be, you know, I'm like, I don't know if this is because I don't want to be alone and that was part of it. Whatever the reasons was, I have to examine this more. And that's with me. I'm going to self-examine. So I continue to self-examine, like go over, if I'm afraid I'm going to be alone and I have, what is going on with me? Why am I putting up with this type of behavior? More like, why am I doing this? And that's what you got to do, guys. You, when you in it, you got to, if it's still continuing like that, and this is some self-betrayal, and it's red flags everywhere telling you, all in your insides and all, God, I mean, damn, what did it take? I mean, wow. You know, divine listeners, so, you know, you got to get deeper. You got to get deeper within yourself. And I know I always talk about self, but that's where you got to go, because this outer is reflecting what's going on inner. So you got to get down and really, even if you got to get some pencil and paper and get down, it's what is going on here. Why am I being a fool or whatever it is? Why am I acting like this? This guy ain't doing anything for me. Or it could be your situation where this person isn't doing anything, or somebody is keep asking you for money, you trying to help them. That's other situations you know, you trying to help them and they continue to be a burden. You know, you're helping them and they constantly asking for money and they didn't pay for you, you know, pay you back. You know, I got all kind of examples, you know. This was just one of them that I had to actually go down and just really get deep with it, get in paper, get into it, and find out what it is, what is going on with me. Why am I putting up with this foolish behavior? And really get down to it, divine listener. Get down to whatever the issue is. It could be that. It could be money. It could be another self-betrayal. And the self-betrayal is you going against your better judgment. You're going against your you, your divine you, yourself, your worth for whatever that's going on. You're going against it. And it's constantly telling you what to do and how to do it. But you're going against it. So since you know you're going against it, and you say, okay, I'm going against my better judgment. And you continue with this behavior. And sometimes you can know and still, and that's why I'm talking about, you still doing it. And it's like, I know I didn't analyze it. He show up with this smile, dazzling, you know, handsome, looking good, all of you done fell back into it. So you have to ask yourself the hard questions, like, why am I continuing to do this? What am I getting out of it? What is it that I feel like I need? Do I feel like this is something that I don't want to be along with? You know, I put all that down, and it was all that. I didn't want to be alone. I didn't want to look to peer to my friends like I didn't have a man. Whatever it was, you know, you got a man? Yeah, I got one. But not really. He really wasn't my man. He was somebody else's man. Because you can't, you know, you can't go over his house. He got a lot of excuses. He got a lot of slick stuff going. And even though he appearing that, you know, he went to church too. Oh, yeah, right. But did he take me to church with him? No. Because, you know, whatever, wifey or whoever it was going to be appearing, and it was going to be a situation. You know, guys, you know, I like to laugh at myself. I'm sorry. You know, but it's the truth. So I had to balance that out, write it on paper and get deep with it, get deep with my feelings. And I did. I said, you know what? This is enough. He came over my house and I told him, I said, no, this is not going to be him. He tried more than one time because, you know, I've told him that before. But this last couple times he showed up and I'm like, no, what is it that you want? And he like, I just want a hug. I just haven't seen him in a while. I said, well, okay, but no hugs. But you know what? And I did. I wished him well, because like I say in all my divinely, and I don't say all of them, but a couple of them, you hear me saying, if you having problems with somebody, and which I was having problems with him because I didn't want to be bothered with him. And, you know, the feelings that got built up where I was disliking myself and what I was becoming. So I had to, you know, not only do the work that was, you know, that I had to do to release that, those feelings to get rid of him, but I had to release him, and I have to release him in a way to his highest good. And I always say that, because if I continue to hate him, what he did, and really judge myself for being in a relationship for 4 years and be down on myself for it and get into that, those are feelings that is setting up for my next relationship. It really is, because I haven't cleared it. I'm still angry. I'm you know, and then I'm down on myself. So it's a two-way situation. I'm mad at him and I'm mad at myself. Why did you do yourself? Why did you self-betray? You know, why did you do these things to yourself? So you got two vibrations going on. You got a vibration for him, and you got a vibration going on for yourself. And the thing is, divine listeners, is this: you need to clear yourself from all that. You know, that, okay, why did I do this? Yeah, you clear yourself from that. You say, yeah, I'm learning from this. I've learned from this, you know, and you clear yourself through meditation, prayer, whatever, writing, your journals, whatever it is that you feel that you need to clear yourself, but you need a clearing. Because guess what? If you don't, like I'm saying, you don't, you know, clear your vibration, clear yourself, your head and your mind and your heart, guess what? And you continue to talk about this guy to all the people, how he did to you, how you, you know, all your friends, you know, girlfriend, guess what, that fool did this and that. Yeah, you're still in that energy. You meet another guy, you'll swear, and I know you guys know, you know, through experience, you'll swear this is the same guy with different pants on. You ever experienced that? Maybe 3 or 4 or 5 of them like that. You ever experienced that, where you know, you all that self-betrayal and all that hatred you had for that other guy, you continue to have that in the air and all through your friends and continue to keep it up and never released it out of yourself, never released him from it and released him and to his highest good and pray for him and hope everything, which I told him, I wish everything well for you. I want everything to go well for you. I wish you have your job. At one point, he didn't have his job. And, you know, I said, well, and I really sincerely, I said, I wish you find, you know, the right job and all that. But he said, why can't we be together? I mean, Karen, why are you acting like this? Well, I'm like, no, that chapter has been closed. I wish you the best. And when he knew I was serious, I did about 3 times or 4 times in a row, and I wasn't playing. And, you know, it wasn't the physical thing couldn't get to me, because when you're there, you over that. whatever that charm was, that is gone. Because you done worked on yourself and all that, that can't work. Right? So you do that because, like I said, if you don't do that, you will attract somebody in the same situation, different guy, you know, same, you know, different, you know, conversation, you know, he got a different kind of way of talking to you, but you look up and you're in the same type, and you say, something feels very familiar. This guy is saying the same crap the other one. And then you'll come to the conclusion, all men are ass, you know, whatever. I'm not going to say it, but you'll, you know, they all, you know, might have said it, I'm sorry. All of them are dogs, or whatever your thing is with it. You'll come up to this conclusion after four or five or more, three of them, or even more, acting this way, and you can't understand, why am I attracting, you know, this situation to me? And it goes back to your self-betrayal in the first place. You did not clean that up. You did not clean that self-betrayal and that situation up. So you, therefore, you are attracting all these guys with the same situation. You clean that up, you release him to his highest good, and then you're much more better. And don't continue to talk about all the guys, the prior ones, everybody, all this stuff. You don't keep that live because you don't know. You, all that you think of, talk about, and speak of is live. It's speaking it into existence. So you're talking about it and you're speaking about it. And this is your dominant conversation about it, you're going to attract it, and you want to know why. So you get that out and you let it go, and you talk more about, you know, other conversations, or if you're not in the mood at that time, then don't even bring the subject up. Let that subside and let that down, you know, die down for a bit before you even talk to your friends about it. And they might say, whatever happened to that fool? He said, well, I prayed for that fool. You can say that. Or I prayed for whatever the person's name was. You know, I'm going to let him go on his way and release him to his highest good. Girl, we're going to talk about something else. What's going on good in your life? And, you know, and what's the good people that's around you? And then you kind of go in that direction. But then if you're having a situation where you keep loaning people money, it could be in any of these situations, self-betrayal. You can call yourself on helping somebody. I'm going with my experience. You know, they're your brother or your sister or whoever that you're trying to help, your son or your kid. And you know this person is just not going to do the right thing. Seriously, you can help somebody. You help God, the ones who help themselves. And you know that, you know, I just need this for my job. You know, you know they're doing it the right way. I need to get started. I need bus fare to get to my, I need this until this happened, or I'll pay this back to you. You know, then you say, okay, you're bound to help. And it's not saying, you know, you help until it hurt, give, you know, you have to have common sense with this, with kids, people, and all friends or whatever. Here it goes with the self-sabotage, self-betrayal. You know, you're helping. When you're helping somebody, you know, okay, I'm helping you to get on your feet. This is, you know, maybe you don't have to pay it back, you know, or maybe you do, whatever your arrangements are. The minute they don't pay you back, well, it could be a situation where, okay, I couldn't pay you back because I don't have, you know, the sincere stuff. Okay, I couldn't pay you back, you know, everything got, you know it. And so you forgive it, you say, okay, I'm going to let you have that or whatever. But if a person repeats this thing, you're constantly giving this person money, finance, trying to help them, and they're not paying you, and you found out they had their check or whatever, and they're not paying you back, and they just expect for you to give them things. You just look like an ATM to them, talking about experience, and I'm not even talking about saying no names or whatever, but and they come to you and they're looking at you as a person. You say, okay, this person got me. They took all my money. I gave them all. They was my son, but they got me. They really didn't get you. You've seen the first couple signs, really. You have seen it. They never paid you back. Or if they did, they didn't continue to pay you back. They're only, and you say, as long as you owe me, you owe all that stuff. That, yeah, no, you have to take a stand. Even with your so-called niceness, because you know what it's going to turn mean after a while. If this, you're going to end up feeling used and everything. But they really done showed you all all the signs. So who's really portraying themselves in this situation? I mean, you say they used me, they took all my money, but you really had all the tools, you had all the signs, you had all the whatever. Unless you want to just give it, if you're giving it to giving it, then don't complain about it. If you're giving it, and I've given to giving, but I'm talking about this reoccurring thing where, you know, these people or this person keep asking you, and you know, and you're doing it, and you feel compelled to do it. You say, oh, this is my whoever, my son. I know, and you know your son got problems and everything. He's not going to be responsible. You know, I can give you this $100. I really need my $100 by Thursday. I really need it. And they turn around Thursday, come, they saying they getting paid, and they won't give it back to you. They won't call you. They won't talk to you until the next time. And then they borrow on what they need. I mean, what they owe. Divine listeners, they burn on what they owe. So this tells you, what does this tell you? You burn on what you owe, even though you're saying you need it. You're not. And if you give it to them and they didn't do it, this is self-betrayal. This is your own self-betrayal. And if you feel like you've been used or whatever from all this, whatever, you really portrayed yourself in this situation because they showed you who they were. You just didn't want to do it, or you just felt like you feel like you needed to or dedicated to do it, and you did it. But all these things, it could be this situation or other, but you have to know when it's self-betrayal. It feels bad. It don't feel right. I know I shouldn't have gave this person my rent money or half of my rent money to do that. I just knew it. But it's your intuition, God telling you all what you need to know about what you need to know. And you need to listen. You really need to listen. And I listen. And I really just continue to listen. I listen to myself. I just don't want to be paranoid on live stuff. You know, sometimes I can be paranoid on things like, I'm buying this stuff on what did my intuition tell me about buying this outfit on? I mean, is this, I don't want to put my credit card, I don't want to be getting so paranoid about things, you know, everything is this, that, but you know what I'm saying, divine listeners. I don't want you paranoid on all your stuff, but you know when you're being portrayed because everything in your body tells you. You listen to that. It could be with family, it could be with whomever. And you need to listen to that. So that won't, and some people have it just like the reoccurring thing with the boyfriend with me and some of all of us. It could be reoccurring with the money situation. One situation, I got a friend, I ain't gonna mention her, but it went from one child to doing that to a niece doing that to her. You can tell the patterns. It go from one person to the next. And it's like, girl, didn't you tell me this situation? You gave them money or you got that person a car. It's from one thing to the next. And, you know, you can recognize the pattern. But she wasn't recognizing all. She said, I'm being used. I'm being used. At the end of it, I gave my son, my daughter, my nephew, all these people money, and they didn't pay me back. Now I'm in need. I need for surgery, or I need my taxes done. You know, pay for in my house, and I can't seem to get nothing, none of them to give me anything. I just feel used. You were used. Who used you? They did, but who portrayed you portrayed your own self in this. You had all the signs and all the, you know, the tools to know that, you know, even though this is my baby, this is my whatever, I can't keep continue to do this because this is not working out for me. But this is the thing, is when you keep doing it, you have to do an exercise for yourself and to yourself, and you have to ask yourself some questions, some hard questions. Either it's on paper or talk to someone or whatever to stop the cycle of self-sabotaging or self-betrayal. Either one. You have to ask yourself questions and go within and get the answers you need so you can be clear on yourself and your worth. And even if it is with people you love, that you come first. You come first. And once you know that, and you know your worth, and you know your worth in God and divine, you won't allow it. You can tell somebody nicely, you know, listen. Firm but nicely, whatever. listen, you know, this relationship is over with, or whatever way you want to say it. You don't have to be hostile because you have work. If you're still hostile, then you still, you know, you're still projecting a lot. So you got to be, or whatever way you want to tell it. Shit, get lost. I don't know. I'm just saying, you know, I always go to the peacefulness, divine listeners. I try to be in the peaceful because I could be a hothead if I don't. And I could project a lot, and that always bring more drama for me. So, I mean, and then sometimes it's useful for me to do that, and I feel better. So I can't say always, but, you know, it depends on the situation. You could say, you know, get lost. I don't care what you say, and I feel, whoo, I feel good about that. I told that so-and-so off or whatever. Yes, I did. And I don't feel bad about it. I don't have to pray about it. I feel good within myself and my soul. Everything told me to tell them off. Okay? That too. Well, all I'm saying is, you know, have a conversation with yourself and breaking the cycle is what I'm saying of self-betrayal. And knowing that in that while that's taking place, whatever form it's taking, it could be anything. It could be somebody telling you something in the bank or wherever. You know, you're saying, I know that this doesn't feel right. This is not right. At that time when you're saying that, you say, I just don't want to do nothing at all. When you feel that way, you just don't do anything. Don't take no action. If it's required that you got to take it right away, you got to get this car right away, ma'am. You know, this sale is going to be whatever it is that the urgency and you feel in this way and it feels like you being used or whatever it is at that moment. You said, listen, that Mary may be. Maybe the car I want so bad, like I said, that ego be talking, you know, I got to have it this way and you're not going within because God always got... You know, always got the options, more cars, better, everything. Divine has all these things lined up for us. It's never no one thing. That's what you need to keep in mind, that God is infinite. You know, everything is infinite. You know, all that we need is infinite. So we don't have to rush to do things or have a guy or do all this stuff. The right guy could come along and be perfect for you. You don't have to rush and say, this has to be this way, you know, in the eager way to do it. You have to know that the right things in the right places, you don't have to portray yourself in that kind of way and do these things that you don't want to do or you feel that's not, it's against your better judgment. I don't care what it is. If it's against your better judgment, don't do it. I don't care what, don't do it. Because you're going to feel like you're going to be portrayed, but it's going to be you who portray yourself. So it's kind of, you know, slowing down things and not being in so much of the equal mind that you have to have things a certain kind of way. Okay? And so I'm here now and I be still wondering how these things that happened to me and what happened at the time. So I had to think about, you know, how did that happen? You know, what did I do to, deal with myself when that happened and when it came around again? What did I do to quiet myself to go in a different direction, that I don't have to have this ego? I don't have to have it right now. And so I can feel good about it. So when I purchase anything or I do something for people, I'm clear in what I'm doing. And if I'm dating somebody, I'm clear in what I'm doing. Is he to treat me nice? Is he treating my daughter right or my kids right? You'll have that sense of peaceness about you. You'll know. And if it's not and he's feeling kind of weird or whatever, then you say, no, I don't think we can have another date, you know. Or if you did another date and you're still looking like, you know, it's that way or whatever it is, the situation, whatever form it take or, you know, takes, you are able to be clear in it because you're always paying attention to your intuition. You're paying attention to your feelings and you are being clear about yourself. And the situations and things that happened to me, I know that I self-sabotage, even though, like I said in the beginning, people have portrayed in me. Now, let's get that straight. They have done terrible things to me, and people that I thought was close to me, friends changing on me or whatever, that's a real deal. I'm not saying that. But the worst betrayal to me, in my experience, is self-betrayal. It feels the worst. And, I mean, you could say, but it feels the worst because I know I knew better. I know that it was something telling me. I know I had the signs, and there's something always edging me and egging me. You're like, what is that? What is that feeling? It's always there. So you have the tools. You have what it takes to feel what you're feeling, but just don't go against it. That's all I'm saying. Don't go against that feeling. You know that feeling is there for a reason. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this to myself. And even if you're in it right now, you decide I'm not going to do it. Even if you do it three more times after you did it, you know you got to take a much deeper look at yourself and find out what it is that you need to do to get out of the situation and to make yourself a much better person as far as with you. Forget everybody else. You know, I feel my integrity. I know this is right for me. I feel good about this. I feel great about this, even though I can't continue to help my girlfriend give her money or whatever it is that, you know, for her kids or whatever. I can't. I know I did the best thing I could do. She need to help herself because I keep getting used in this situation, or I'm feeling whatever it form it take. You don't want a self-sabotage or self-betray. You don't want to betray yourself and betray your heart, because that's where it's, you know, that's where everything is at. God want us to have a good life, and we want to live and bountiful and grateful and happy, and we don't want to, you know, be judging ourselves too when that happened too. You know, just know that I'll learn my lesson the next time. I have more keen on what I'm feeling, because some people are numb. They don't feel, you know, they just feel like they want to do the right thing, or they think that it's the right thing, or they was told, raised, whatever. But I'm just saying that's, you know, my experience of things. And I just wanted to bring that because I was feeling that way with myself. And so, you know, divine listeners, I kind of go in with my experiences. And I share it with you so, you know, you could, I hope you get things, you know, get some sense of release, or how, you know, at least know how to do it, the tips on how to do it if it's happening with you. I love my divine listeners and listeners. I just want to help and inform, and I just love you guys, because I know God made it possible for the airways and for us to connect in the way we connect. And if I could help in any way to lessen this journey, you know, this crazy journey we're on, and it'd be a better format for you, that's me. I want it better. I want it better for myself, but I want it better for everybody else. And if I can help myself, I help, because I'm always in the self-help. Self-help is a thing that I always do. I study and always trying to make things better for myself and others and the people that surround me. So it appears that this is for now. It does it for now. And my next show is October the 20th, 2018, at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time. We are going to continue our divine discussions. In the meantime, you can contact me at divfromdarktolight@gmail.com. I am looking forward to hearing from you guys. Good night, and God bless you guys. I hope you have a wonderful week, and I hope you be good to yourself and each other.